Okay, we're continuing in the Sefer Mesillas Yesharim with the commentary of the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. We've been away from this for a number of months. Now we're back in action. And we're on page Pei Gimel in the Sefer. And he's in the middle of a concept where he's speaking, bemoaning the fact that people are spending a lot of time in their Judaic studies studying things that will not bring any real fruitful results, things that are not really relevant, and rather the things that are relevant that we are obliged to do to our Creator, which we have a great obligation for, we leave it just to the robotic activities that we do, and put it on automatic pilot, and we don't really think about it anymore. So we're in the middle of the commentary on that, and how a person has to be more focused on learning things that are more practical in their avodas Hashem. And why are we sinking and investing efforts in areas that are not as necessary? So he's in the middle of that, right in the middle of the page. And he's explaining some of the clauses of the Mesillas Yesharim, that we're learning things that don't bring out any fruits. And the next clause is, Asher Einam Shayachim Lanu, that aren't even applicable to us. So he explains, Gon Yisrael She'enu Mizer HaMelucha, let's say a Jew who is not a descendant of Yehuda and is never destined to be a king. V'gam lo mishevet Levi, or a Jew who is not from the tribe of Levi. V'lo mei dinei kohen ha-melech, he's spending a lot of time learning the laws of a kohen and the laws of a king. Alav sheish b'din me'ela nafkimin l'mais, even though there are, you know, appropriate applications for those who it pertains to, aval lo atzmo ein shayachim, but there's nothing related to him. He has to learn the laws that apply to him. So that's, you know, that's the issue. Right? Ve'ilu esma shechayovim onu lebareinu chovarabah, and that which we have a tremendous obligation to our Creator. What is that? What is that meaning? Hainu tahara salev ha-moach v'ha-ichud b'neim, the purity of the heart and the mind and the unity between the two of them. As Sayyuna said, that type of reflection and looking deeply into that, says the Mesillas Yesharim, Nazveh lahergel, should we leave it just to our habit? Nanichel mitzvanashik milumada, and leave it for just robotic observance? Is that what we're leaving it for? So now the Bilvavi explains this. He says, Adam shalomet halacha, a person doesn't learn Jewish law. He leaves it for robotic observance. That's how they remain. A lack of knowledge. It can and is likely to uproot a person's actual behavior of mitzvahs. Let's give an example. Let's say a person, every year, it's customary for him to light his Hanukkah candles in the window. That's what he did every year. And that was the correct thing to do. Bishah Tova, he's Rabba Navashos. And with good blessings, more children were in the family. Umochar is the Rasa, he sold his apartment. Konadir Acheris, he bought another apartment. Vigam Shomaniach as a Chanukiah, Bachalom Beisol. And he does the same thing as before. He puts the Chanukiah in the window. That's what they did in the old house, they'll do it in the new house. Hurak lo sam libo lekach, but he didn't pay attention to the fact in his new house. Shadir hakodamas hoyse bekom revis. The old house was on the fourth floor. Vachshiv hugar bekomas knisa. He now is living in a place that the entrance yeshlo beis prati, which is a private entrance. Ubemas alav laniach bekinisa lebeiso. He really should put it in the entrance to his house. It's different halachas. If you live in an apartment building, you know, on the fourth floor, and no one's going to really see it, the only people will see it, if you put it by the window, people on the street will see it, okay, then you put it by the window. But if you have your own private entrance to your own home, the best place to put it is by the front door, not by the window. So why is he putting it by the window? You know why? Because I always put it by the window. He never understood why you put it by the window. Why do you put it by the window? Well, there's an overriding principle called Pursumai Nisa, publicize the miracle. And there's other principles put it by, the real halacha is, put it by the door. That is halacha, put it by the door. So just, that's the law. So you have to know the law. You don't leave your Jewish observance just to, well, this is what I've been doing in the past, this is what I'm keep doing now. Because could be you put it in the window in the past, because that was the best place under your circumstance at that time. But now that circumstances have changed, it's time to change that as well. So you've got to grow, you've got to learn, and you've got to understand, be informed, and just don't leave it to habit. You know, it's no different than sometimes you see adult men wearing very small pair of tzitzis. Very small. Why? Because when they were a kid, they wore it very small. And when they grew up, they never increased the size of the tzitzis. They figured, you know what? I had a little pair of tzitzis when I was 6 years old. And you only have to have that kind of size. You don't have to have another pair of tzitzis. Now he's 26 years old. That little pair of tzitzis barely covers up much of his body. He figures that's fine. But the halacha is that tzitzis have to cover the majority of your body. So as you grow, the tzitzis have to grow. Plain and simple. If you leave it to robotic actions, it's going to come out. Now, it comes out even worse. The example I just gave you now is even worse. Why? Because the mitzvah tzitzis means if you have a four-cornered garment, you're obliged to wear tzitzis. What if you're wearing a four-cornered garment that is not a tzitzis? So you're doing an aveira. So the guy who's putting on his tzitzis from when he was 6 years old, he figures he's doing a mitzvah putting on tzitzis. The fact is, not only is he doing a mitzvah, he's doing an aveira. Why? Because he's wearing a four-cornered garment, but not properly worn because it's too small. And therefore, he's wearing a four-cornered garment that's not fulfilling the mitzvah tzitzis. Now he's doing an aveira by wearing the four-cornered garment. And meanwhile, this guy thinks he's doing a mitzvah. Right? So that's the point. If you just go with this way, I've always been doing mitzvahs, without reflecting on them and doing a reality check and, you know, reviewing and say, you know, is this really the right way? I'm moving into a new house. Maybe I should find out. Maybe the menorah goes somewhere else. Right? So that can be the mistake of just habitually doing mitzvahs the way you've been doing them. So now he continues and he says, when you go with just habit, a person can even uproot the laws in real reality. I mean, to not follow them because you think you're following them. Because he's just continuing what he did in the past. And he thinks he's okay. But the situations have changed. Therefore, the law changes. So a person who just lives with habit, whatever his parents did, he did too. Next page, to pay down lapamim zubayla. Sometimes it's a virtue. Sometimes it's a virtue to do the same thing your parents do. Ach lapamim yesh bazeh chasan, but sometimes it's a deficiency. His parents did things because they had certain situations, certain conditions. But what if he finds himself in a different condition? There are those people who keep a second day of Yontav because that's the way his parents did. And he's talking about people who live in Eretz Yisrael now. They're keeping 2 days Yontav in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because my father, who lived in New York, kept 2 days. Because his parents lived outside of Eretz Yisrael, but for him who lives in Eretz Yisrael, that's not relevant. He should keep 1 day. You can imagine davening all the extra things, not going over all these things. That's wrong. A person can't just continue doing things because that's what his parents did. And afterwards, if someone says, you know, you don't got to do what your parents did, Hutzoik, you scream out, Shekamu Dor Chodesh, Shoik, Menog Yavos, what's this new generation that's uprooting the traditions of the parents? Shekaik is all upset. My father always did this. Why am I changing this? It's not respectful to my parents. My father always put the menorah in the window, and that's the way we're going to do it. Yeah, but your father always lived in an apartment, and you live in a house. I'm disrespecting my parents. No, you're disrespecting Hashem. Because you're not looking to know what the law is. Right? My father never said Kiddush Friday night. Why should I say Kiddush Friday night? Just my mother lit candles. Why should I say Kiddush? It's disrespectful to my father. What do you mean it's disrespectful? Because he never did it. Maybe he didn't know. Whatever. So that's the idea. Said Nikar Voshel Chomim. So what do the rabbis call such customs? Minhage Shtus, Shein Lam Tokef Udina. Foolish customs that have no credence in Jewish law. Yesh Minhagim. Now there are other customs, Shenemar Leim, that we say about the Minig Yisrael Torah. A Minig of the Jewish people is Torah. And you have to live and die for it. Yesh Minhagim Shenel Shtus, but there are some that are foolish. Vein Lam Tokef Udina. There's nothing to them at all. Yesh Minhagim Shem Od Yoser Grim Yishus. There's certain customs that are even worse than a foolishness. Him Parshat Neged Adin. They're literally against the law. They notes are the other Mesuyam Sha'asa Maisa Machmas Nasunim Shayas, because they started with a person in a particular situation who had particular needs that maybe were correct in those times. But Vanashim Hatiku Lerakodos. But people have transported that custom for future generations, and there really is no reason to do this. And it's not appropriate. There were times, you know, there were certain minhagim, you know, when times were very tough for Jews and there wasn't a lot of money, so we couldn't do a lot of things. And we didn't do a lot of things. You know, because the money wasn't there. You know, let's say, wine was a period of time where wine, let's say, was expensive. So even though there was three people eating at a table, they didn't bench with a kos. They didn't bench with a kos. They didn't bench with a cup of wine because the wine was, you know, very precious. They wish they could. They just don't have the money. It's okay. There's opinions you can rely on not to, but it's not the optimal way. Now we live with so much wine, like water. And people still don't bench with a kos. Why? Because my father never did, so why should I? My grandfather didn't even. It's really going back. Because your grandfather barely had money to buy a potato, let alone wine. So I never saw this before. Or the one that people go crazy over, you know, people when they hear about how we have to be so careful about buying vegetables that don't have insects in them. I once met a noted Toronto educator, but not a scholar. But a very revered educator of the city, but not a scholar. And he says, there's two things that have turned me off of Yiddishkeit. One, I don't want to mention, it's not in the gift. Then one says, and bugs. Where did these rabbis come up with this new chumrah, this new strictness that we have to check the leaves? My grandparents never had to check them. This is Mishigas. It's the frum Jews have nothing better to do than to just add another chumrah to Shara religious they are to check bugs. You know, now let's try to understand that. You know, who's making up this idea? Who's telling us to do this? A bunch of non-scholars? There's a great rabbis in different cities of the world, all around the world, says, you know, you gotta check your lettuce for bugs. You gotta check your vegetables for bugs. So now people say, no, but we never did this before. So maybe you should figure out why they're saying that. We never did it before, because pesticides used to work. For the first, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 years that pesticides were used, they really worked. But the bugs were able to adapt, and now they don't die with the pesticides. And now there's laws that don't allow us to use pesticides in certain places. So guess what? There, bugs is an issue. You know, so, and there were certain periods in time when bugs wasn't an issue, depending on where you lived. Certain place where you lived, there wasn't great infestation of the bugs, so people didn't check it. And then all of a sudden you find out there is, so you have to worry about it. So I'm not talking about a person who's just a total non-respect, respectable people who give their official opinions as educators. You know, this is a mishigas of the frumis. You know, what's the real answer? The real answer is people don't want to grow in their Yiddishkeit. The Ratzon of Hashem is not the primary thing in their life. It's convenience. So now I got to go check the lettuce or spend $8 for a bag of lettuce. You know, so, but that's the point. You can't just say, well, the way that things were in the past, so that there's no need to change it. No, you have to always look and see. If you understand why you have to check, you know, I don't understand how this person can say this when there are sections in the Shulchan Aruch, you know, going way back to the Tor, 800 years ago, that says you have to check for bugs. So why are you saying it's a modern Lakewood invention to check for bugs? A new Chumrah, when it's in the Shulchan Aruch in Yoreh Deah, you have to check. If there's a likelihood of bugs, you have to check. You understand? Oh, but we just started the last 50 years, we didn't check, so we're going to check that. Because you have to, that's all. Because the conditions are different, you have to look. That is the difference. Right. So a person figures, I'm not going to check. Now remember, what did we just learn in Makkos last week? Right? Every bug you eat is five lavim. Five averis. Like eating pig five times. For, you know, every bug, you could have a whole lettuce and you could have 30 bugs in there. It's 150 averis, lavim. And if they'd warn you not to eat it, you'd get lashed 150 times 39 times. And educators are saying, you know what, this is turning me off of Yiddishkeit. Turning off of Yiddishkeit. Maybe you were already turned off of Yiddishkeit. Right? So that's what he said. You can't go with the past. It right? So he says, but where am I now? What can we compare this to? Ama Oretz, be care Eitzel Chaver b'yom chamish Chanukah. An ignorant person visits his friend on the fifth night of Chanukah. For us, you madly chamish, he sees he lights five candles. Also Makar, so the guy says, you know what? That's a very nice custom. To light five candles on Hanukkah. So the next day he goes to his house, Humam Shiklat, like it's also mismanaged. So now the ignorant guy goes to his house the next night and he lights five candles on Hanukkah. Why? Because I saw Rabbi so-and-so lit five candles. So it must be you light five candles every night of Hanukkah. It's pretty foolish. Right? Yevshel Hamshik called over. You know, we can't extend everything. But Adam Shemevin, Mayin, Nakuda Shurash, if you understand the root point, maybe in imshayach lahamshik aglach. We understand, is something meant to be perpetuated or not? Imshayach lahamshik, if it's something that's appropriate to continue to do, hareishim mechuyon lahamshik. You have to continue these customs. Kemoshenemer, as it says in Mishlei, valtitosh tarasimecha. Don't forsake the Torah of your mother. If there's, you know, there's real customs that should be done, we should be doing this. Avalol koldover shenogu avosayinu yichom gam anon linok. But not everything that our parents had a custom to do would we have such a custom. Imadam isnaig milumadav. A person just conducts himself by rote and just continues with the habits. Hubetzim yochol lakar afilas adin mikarech minhagim shumam shechlasusom. You could be uprooting laws because of these customs that are no longer applicable anymore. Huav pam lo pesik velo chadomen. He never was a posek, and he has no capability of making these decisions. That's all regarding regular mitzvahs, which is bad enough. But that's not the point of the Mesillas Yesharim. The point of the Mesillas Yesharim is, Kamo kein l'inenu l'inyanei avodas nefesh. So the more so, when we're discussing habitual Yiddishkeit when it terms with service of the soul. If you just go with your habits, there's no, not even the faintest hope you'll succeed in your spiritual development. We're obliged to learn in depth the path of how to acquire this spiritual development. Then to do it. So that's what the Mesillas Yesharim is bemoaning. He's saying the things that we need to learn, we're not spending time learning. And we're leaving it just for habit. So the way I daven is the way my parents daven and grandparents daven. And I don't think about the davening and all the things that ever happen. I just, you know these ideas. When you say something, you know, knock on wood. People do the silliest things in the world, you know. Poo-poo. Like, what my grandmother did. So what does that have to do with anything? Right, it's ridiculous, right? But that their mama should start me Sinai, right? But the check for bugs, that's crazy. You're a fanatic if you do such a thing. So that's what he's saying over there. So he continues now with the Mesillas Yesharim, the main words of the Mesillas at the bottom of page fade out. Imlo nistakalnu, if we don't reflect velo iyanu maya yiramitas, and we don't look deeply into what is true fear. Umana found one of its branches. So how can we acquire that level? He's giving an example of Yerushalayim. If you don't really know what Yerushalayim is, how are you ever going to get it? And how are we going to escape from the vanities of this world that make us forget it from our hearts? We'll forget it. And we're going to go in a way without fearing God, even though we know we're obliged. Everybody knows you have to have Yiras Hashem. It's one of the six constant mitzvahs. But if you don't focus on it and learn what it is and learn how to acquire it, you're never going to get it, even though it's an obvious mitzvah you have to do. It's an obvious point in Avodah Hashem you have to do. And it's going to explain. Pei. Reish is called Tzarech Adam Listak Alayin. The first thing is a person has to reflect and look deeply into a subject matter. Lahavin Mahi Yira Mitis Umahu Anafeh. We're talking about the topics. Just give me an example now. Of Yira, fear of Hashem. What is true fear of Hashem and what are its branches? How does it manifest itself? Okay, how many people really study what Yiras Hashem is? Because without that, he is liable to make a mistake of what real Yira is. For example, Adam Lomit Besfar Makadoshim Al Yiras Onish. He reads in the holy books, there's a concept called fear of punishment. There's a concept. You shouldn't do this because Hashem will punish you. There is such a concept. So he gets used to the fact that that's the only type of Yira that exists. Well, he's wrong. There's many, many other levels. This is just the smallest level that exists. But he figures that's what Yira Shemayim is. Yira Shemayim means you're afraid that Hashem will punish you. If you desist from doing things because you're afraid Hashem will punish you, you're mamish the best Jew in the world. And that's it. There's nothing more beyond that. Yom Echad, one day, Beis Shah, he's Rome with some mochim. One day, his mind gets a great elevated state of feeling. Humargish as Mitzvah Hashem Belibo v'Hadar Gon. He begins to feel the reality of Hashem and his great majesty. It just dawns on him. Hashem is really amazing. He's powerful. He does so much. He loves us. He's great. He's omnipotent. He becomes overwhelmed by this feeling of the majesty of Hashem. Right? And he's beginning to feel a much higher level of Yiras Hashem. This is a much higher level of Yiras Hashem. But he never learned about this. So what happens? He begins to say things. Is this the right, am I feeling the right things I'm supposed to be feeling now? And then he concludes, no, this is not fear of God. Fear of God is going to be afraid of Hashem. And I'm having the wrong feeling. So let's stop thinking that way. Let's stop thinking how great Hashem is. Because that's not, I didn't learn that anywhere. Let it go. He learned mistakenly that the proper fear is that of punishment. So now he just forgets about this other feeling he had. And now he's only afraid of the punishment. Okay? So what happens? Why is he making such a mistake? This is a mistake that stems from the fact he wasn't looking into things properly. Certainly a person has to grow from level to level. You move from the bottom line of fear of punishment, now you move to higher levels of Yiras Hashem. And if you have a deeper feeling, so Chalil HaMalachar, God forbid, you shouldn't push that away. You should cultivate that even more. Nitzah comes out. Shimlo Yayin Adam Mahi Yiras Hashem. The person doesn't really look into and study in the books what is real Yiras Hashem. You talk on Shiargis, it's Yiras Hamitis. It's possible. He may even one day have the real, correct feeling of Yiras Hashem. Yes, it comes over him. But since he never studied what it really is, he'll just skip over it and let it go. And we'll ignore it. I feel about myself, even in this world. Let's give an example in this world. People suggest a person should buy something that is of real value, but he doesn't recognize its value that's hidden in it. They suggest, I think it's good that you should buy this. And the guy says, it's not worth anything. He wouldn't buy it. He ends up losing. He doesn't get something that really would help him. He doesn't understand. That's what he really needs. For example, he's looking for a particular piece of furniture. He goes to many stores. One store, they mamish give him the piece of furniture he really needs. A really good piece of furniture. And he's got the money to buy it, and it is what he needs. But he doesn't buy it. He's not an expert in furniture. That doesn't look like a good piece of furniture. Harit lo nira lo us. Ha-rehit lo nira lo. So look on it. If he doesn't appear to him to be what's right, he won't buy it. Kol masha davar lo nira, lo nira lo, who came him a vin berit. The reason he doesn't see it that way, he's not an expert in furniture, lo nagar, he's not a carpenter. So if you don't value something, you're not going to buy it. Kach lov lo yir. So it is with fear of God. Ha'ima adam evin ma yir. Does the person really know what yir is? You really know what it is? Hatshuva mukhlat esilo. The definite answer for 99% of Jews is no. We don't know what yir is. B'chdei lahavin adam mukhlat lima. Not to understand it. You got to learn it. He could pass over situations where you're having the real proper year and just skip over them. Did not realize the depths of the beauty of those feelings that you should be having. We have sometimes feelings that are the opposite. People read certain books that you have to be afraid of Hashem. In other words, meaning having the higher levels now. He reads in the books, you know, there's high levels of service Hashem. Really high level. To be overcome in awe of Hashem. All that. But they're not afraid of the punishment part. That part they don't integrate. That there really is a punishment. That kind of they skip. So they hit the higher level and miss the lower level. So now, so whenever a feeling of maybe God's going to punish me, get that feeling, if it just passes by, they throw that one away. Says that's not the way to serve Hashem. That's also not proper. Because yesh na yira tato, there is a lower level of fear, which is lower. But shigam osa tsarachadam, because you have to acquire that too. And he said this in others form already. He says there's two levels of fear. There's more than two, but the two main levels are fear of punishment and fear of God's majesty of awe. And he says that, you know, if the rabbi says there's two levels, we have to have both of those levels. What do you mean? Once I have the second level, what do I need the first level for? The answer is, the second level is mamish, a beautiful level. It's if you really, things are going well in your life and you're overcome by God's greatness and your breath is taken away and you're in awe of Hashem, that's an amazing feeling. But what happens the day you get up and you're not in a very spiritual mood? And the Aser comes over and you say, why don't you be a Rasha today? And since you don't really are so overwhelmed and in awe of God, you say, yeah, why not be a Russia today? So now what's going to stop you from being a Russia? What happens when you're not, you know, operating from a sophisticated intellectual point of view, and today you're operating from an animal point of view, and everything you're going to do today is based on your animalistic feelings. So where will the awe of Hashem come into play to stop you from doing an Avera? It doesn't. So we would hope that 99.9% of your life, you're always on that good spiritual plateau, and that you're just overcome by the awe of Hashem. That's amazing. What are you going to do on that one day where Yetzer wants you to be an animal? Okay? And what's going to stop you from being an animal? One thing. You're going to burn in hell, baby. Now, is that the optimal way to behave? No. But in the day when you want to act like an animal, then start thinking like an animal. And the only way you're going to deter an animal is by telling him you're going to burn in hell. That's such a low level. How could I? Yeah, but you're acting like a low life today, so you need the low level for the low way you're living today. So if a guy says, you know, I don't ever work on that level because it's not appropriate. You're making a big mistake. You need that in your arsenal as well. That's what he's saying as well. You have to learn every level of fear of Hashem and to know when to apply each one in life. Right? And that's what he's saying on top of Pei Vav. You have to know what true fear is in all its levels. Well, that's heichen huokes, to know where are you holding. Well, that's gam sheeshem vamim rige hisalus vem admi shrevim mal. You should know there are some times when a person has higher feelings, the higher moments, and you got to go and apply in those higher moments, and this lower moments, you know that. That's what still sure means when it says you have to really learn what is true fear. True fear has many levels of Yiras Hashem. And then he says, the next thing you have to learn is Umana Fel, what are its branches? Meaning to say, Hayira Hisharish, fear is the root of Yeshanon, but there are branches. Umanavi Madam Yoko La Gia Legeza. And from the branches you can get to the trunk. It's like in a physical example. Imadam writes, Shielo Geza Shalais. A person wants to have a tree. Right, what do? He takes a shoot of a different tree, a shoot from it. anaf, a branch, zareba, and you're sticking it to the ground. And then you'll say, eitz gemur. Now another tree will come from that. Klomer, me anaf, yecholodim, let's meal shirsh. From a branch, you can make a root. Right? That's great. You take a piece off from a tree, and I'll plant that into the ground. Right? You want to make a aravas tree. You take one arava that was growing on the tree, right? Put it in water, get the roots to come, then plant in the ground, and from that branch, from that one willow, you have a whole willow tree. Right? So that's true. So meaning if you take a branch of Yiras Hashem, you can develop Yiras Hashem from that too. Came in Imshal, so we're explaining. May Anfa Yir, from the branches of Yira, Yochalotam Lagia, let's be, you can come to the true fear of Hashem. Alena Yodea Maya, nothing, but you don't even what the branches are. You're not going to get to fear. And came without knowing the branches, you'll never get to make a new root. Okay, continuing the words of the Mesil Shasharm. And how will you leave the foolishness of this world if you don't think? That tries to make us forget these things from our hearts. You're going to forget it. The tail will go away. Even though you know you're obliged. How are you going to remain with fear of Hashem if you're not studying it and you let the vanities of this world cause us to forget it? So what's going to happen? You're going to forget it. It's going to be gone. Even though you know that it's important. You used to know it's important. You knew it was an obligation. And now you're just not thinking about it. So how come? So now the Bavli explains. Kan ksuva nekudah nosefes. Now he's saying a new point. I mean, it's a point he said many times before in different form. Sometimes a person really knows what proper fear of Hashem is. He studied the books, he went through the other Bavali Svarim, he went through the chapter that explains Yira in complete depth, he learned it. Makir Ashur Hashem, he knows the root, he knows the branches. But the recognition is only there in his mind. Vilu Baliba, but in his heart. If he doesn't work hard to achieve it, not only will the things be forgotten from the heart, meaning you won't be emotionally connected to it, but at the end of the day, you're going to forget it even in the mind. Why? Because there's a rule that the Talmud says, anything that a person doesn't keep thinking about, lava daita is not on his mind. And he ultimately will forget it. So yeshem dvarim haknuyim b'lev adam, there are certain things that are mamish, been acquired into the heart of the person. For example, adam mitivo mefachet me'esh, a person by nature is afraid of fire. Hu lo tzarech lizkor zos, you don't have to be reminded to not put your hand in the fire. Imagine a husband goes to his wife, remember dear, don't put your hand in the fire today. Right? You don't have to tell him that. Ki hapachot tamon etzo omok b'lev, because that fear is buried deep into the heart. The person totally is at one with that knowledge. And is emotionally connected to that knowledge. And therefore the brain will remember. You're afraid. You're emotionally connected to the fact that you're afraid to burn your hand. And the mind will never forget that. But if it ain't in the heart, then you're going to forget it from your mind. If you'll never acquire this attribute. Therefore, even though a person learned all the sections of what fear of Hashem means, he spends a half a year learning everything about fear of Hashem. Is that enough? I learned it all. The answer is no. Hatshuva Bura Hilo. Yes, you did the first important step. Very important. You learned it. That's good. Very good. But now, he has the harder work to move it from knowledge of the mind to knowledge of the heart. He has to now get his heart emotionally connected to these concepts that he intellectually understands. Madua, why? Because that's what the Shul Shem says. How are we going to escape from the vanities of the world that make it be forgot from our heart? Explains, Halev Sheish Lanu Hulev Chomri. The heart that we have is a very physical heart, Molei Dam, full of blood, as it says, Ki Adam Lo Nefesh, because the blood is the soul. Hakol Chomri, it's all physical. Vitocho Shochnim Chag Hashem. Inside the physical heart is the spiritual soul. Ve'ikr Haruach Shevadam Shiyar Rechonis. That is the spirit of the person's spirituality. If we arouse the heart, We arouse that spirit of godliness that's buried inside of us. And through that, he can serve Hashem. If he doesn't constantly try to arouse the knowledge in the heart, but the heart by nature physically is a heart of stone. Lev chomer, very physical heart. There's the physical heart, there's the spiritual heart. If you don't arouse the spiritual heart, then the heart of stone just continues and you don't get emotionally about these things. Just like the Rambam says, a person in his philosophies, he goes after what people in his locale are thinking. Just like that, it's intellectually, you ask a person what his philosophies of life are, they'll probably reflect those of his friends and neighbors. So does the heart, goes after what it feels. Guy goes into a street, the street is completely physical, completely mundane. So im eno maspik chazak b'daito, he doesn't really try to be strong in his now in his thinking. Right? You're not thinking smart. So then matza minas mino veneer. Then one kind meets with the other kind and it arouses. In other words, you go to a very materialistic street with billboards in every mishigas in the world, not very spiritual. And if the person isn't strengthening his own spiritual connection, so he's just walking in as a physical being into a physical reality, that physical reality makes friends with the physical reality, and it brings it to life. Halev ha-chomri nimshach achrei ha-chomer. So now the physical part of the heart will go after the physical part, and all of a sudden the heart gets very excited about the billboards that he's looking at. Do you understand? You're not connected to the spiritual aspect of the heart, right? The heart has two parts. The physical part of the heart, and that can be the part of lusting for things that you shouldn't want. Things that are merely physical. And then deeper in the heart is the neshama, which can want you to lust for Hashem, to want Hashem. So now you gotta keep that heart, you know, connected in the spiritual way. But if you don't, then it's only the physical way, then when you go to the physical street, two like-minded entities, mesh. And then what happens, that physical heart gets very excited about what the physical world is telling it to get excited about. That's the problem. Because that's the way the heart is. So this drawing forth that the physical is connecting with the physical of the heart, it will cause you to forget about the spiritual part of the heart. As the vodas neshama, the service of the soul, as the year for Hashem, as Ava love Hashem, Shachlevar, all aspects of loving Hashem. If you're not constantly engaging it, you may have had it one time intellectually understood what fear of God was, but you didn't put it into the heart, you didn't activate the spiritual part of the heart. So then it's here. And here is stays physical. Physical meets physical, is very excited about physical, gets engaged in physical, totally involved in physical, totally forgets about the spiritual aspects that were in the mind that never got really aroused into the heart. Nim Sarah, what it comes out, we're in a war. A major war. On the one hand, the enemy is the physical world that's drawing the physical heart out into the physical world. And therefore, the heart will follow in its footsteps into the physical realm. On the other hand, our work is to get to the inner spiritual point. We have to learn that truth as the first step. Then how to acquire it, that is the second step that you have to acquire. Okay. Just time to do one more little section. So not only is that with fear, but it's also with love. The Mesil Sharm says, Havagamkein, loving Hashem is the same thing. If we don't make efforts to establish that love of Hashem in our hearts, with all the wherewithal that we have to get there, how are you going to find it? How are you going to ever love Hashem? How can you love Hashem if you don't work on loving Hashem? If you don't use every resource you have to love Hashem, how are you going to come to loving Hashem? That's what Mesil Sharm says. The Bilvavi explains as follows. V'toch ha'adam yeshna nishama elokis. Inside the person there is a spiritual soul. Al kol chalakeh, in every one of its parts, which is nefesh b'kaved, ruach b'lev, and neshama b'moach. The lowest level of soul, nefesh, is manifested through the liver, which is where the blood is purified from, so it's in the blood. Ruach belev, the second level of soul, the ruach, the spirit, is found in the heart, because that gives the excitement, the breathing. Neshama b'mach, and the neshama manifests itself through the brain. So now, ha'neshama mitzad atzma ein bo midas ros. The neshama in and of itself, the whole soul, doesn't have bad characteristics. Rak midas tovas only has good characteristics. The soul itself. We say, Elokai, neshama shenasata bi tohari. God, the soul that he put in me is pure. Hamidas haros, where do the bad midos come from? This is what he learned in the Tanya. Megias me arba hayesod shibuv hakom. It comes from the four elements, the four physical elements that's in the physical body. Those physical parts is where the bad character comes from. In came therefore, adam ein atzorach liknos es minas ava, avas Hashem, avas hater, avas Yisrael. Person doesn't have to acquire love. You don't have to acquire love for Hashem, love of Torah, and love of the Jewish people. Why not? Because kvar yesh, because you already have it. Where, what do you mean? He needs self-destruct. It's in your neshama. Your neshama loves Hashem. It's there. Your neshama loves God. Your neshama loves every Jew. It's there. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to create a new love. It is there. That's the definition of a neshama. Neshama, the spiritual neshama, loves Hashem. Ella, but the problem is, but when the soul came into the person's body when it's a little baby, he missed the text. It was hidden. It's enclosed in the physical body. Kodem, it's almost there before, it came down to this world, when the soul was in Gan Eden, the soul was revealed. We have no garments, curtains that are hiding it. The neshama was out there in the open, in the person's conscious reality. When the soul goes out of this world, it gets enclosed in the body and, as it were, vanishes. Therefore, the good character in the neshama, the rova mikrim lo came miskas, most time doesn't come out because it's buried beneath the surface. Former lines. So in Peches he says, so Ikra Avodas Adam, this we've said so many times, the main service of a Jew is what? Efo? Lahavshidas Levush HaGuf, to remove the physical garment, Ulagalas and Neshama to move Asocha, and to reveal the soul that's hidden inside. Uma'at Mise'ir Liknos Avim V'chutz Pnima, and to slowly acquire some of that love from the inside out. That's what supposed to do, to get to it from the outside and get inside to it. And that's what Lutzada was saying. If we don't make efforts to establish it in our heart, if we don't make efforts to find it, if we don't make efforts to reveal that soul, how are we ever going to find it? So that's why he's saying we need to spend a lot of time working on this. And if we don't work on it, it isn't ever going to happen. But instead, we're busy spending our time going to classes that don't have anything to do with this at all. And that's what he's saying. It's going to, I'm not to say you can't learn other things, but you've got to make sure that the bread and butter is in place. Okay, we'll continue this tomorrow, Mr. Shem. Moving right along.
We're not a lot of ground today.
It was pretty straightforward.